Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for such a beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place and your love and your spirit and direction in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we can sing praise to you this morning. And Lord, that we can take time now to open your word. Lord, I pray as we do open your word that you would just open our hearts. Lord, that you would open our minds. Lord, even as we've just sung, that our ears and our eyes would be open to you and that your spirit would move in this place. And Lord, I pray as Lord, you give us your word this morning, that you would just speak through me and that we could receive your message today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, Romans chapter 7 this morning. Romans in chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to begin in verse number 1 this morning. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Paul is speaking here and talking very specifically to the Romans as well to the church here this morning. And I know a quick thought might bring us to this idea of a marriage relationship, husband and wife. As Paul mentions it here, in this particular context of this chapter, is not so specific about the marriage relationship. It is defined this way for us to comprehend what Paul is saying here and what the Lord is leading in. But I want you to think about this morning. Again, he says, "Know ye not, brethren?" And then he gives us this description in that first verse. So when we see these things written by Paul, many a times we see this reminder. He says, "I speak to them that know the law." Again, a reminder was for the individuals that knew the law and the word of God. And he says, "Know ye not," because this description for us is oftentimes as well as, "Do you not know? Don't you understand these things?" And I want you to understand these things. And that's the way that Paul wrote it here for us to consider this morning. Know the things of God. And we really come to a place in our life today, this morning, in the life of the church, that we would recognize that there are probably some things in the Scripture that we just don't know yet, right? Everybody believe that? The Scripture is there for us to study and to learn, to make it a part of our life, to dwell in our life, and praise God that there will always be, as long as you are intentional in the study of the Word of God, there will always be direction for your life. You're willing to take time and commitment to study the Word of God, you're going to find things. And I think Paul brings a reminder in this context of this verse that there are things that were taught. Now, we consider the law very specifically in relationship from the Old Testament to the New Testament church. We recognize today that there's this big distinction. The Old Testament law was the guiding principles for the church, for the followers of Christ, for the followers of God that we see here. Their direction was through the Old Testament law. They followed it to the letter, or at least attempted to, right? We've seen Scripture very well, just the same as we are today as human beings. They didn't always do it right by any means, but they had a set of guidelines. God has given us some freedom now in relationship through Jesus Christ, that our law is not, or our life is not based on the law, but on relationship with Jesus Christ. Something has changed there in the New Testament church for us. So he brings a reminder here as he's writing here. He says, "I speak to them that know the law," those that have known the law and lived by the law in their relationship with God. He says, "and how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." It's important for us to consider that God has given, even today in the life of the New Testament church, some direction. You recognize when you read the Word of God that it's intended for a specific purpose? That God's Word is intended to be an instruction guide for us today. It is a map for us as individuals, as Christians in our life. Now, I know that today, in increasing situation in our world today, that the Bible is, from the world standpoint, pretty antiquated and just a good book to read if you're bored. That's kind of the thought of the world we live in today. That is not what God's Word is about. God's Word is an instruction and a guide and a direction for us, and it is something as the body of believers today, as the church, that should be so important and key in our lives that we would not be able to function daily without it. Amen. That it is something that we are recognizing in our heart and our life today, that this truly is the Word of God, and it is the food for our life, it is direction for our life, and it should be the priority of our life. We live in this mindset in the life of the church today, then we recognize, even as he mentions it here, that the law hath dominion, he says, over a man as long as he liveth. And it's important for us to recognize this morning that, God's Word is something that should be a guide for us till our life on this earth is over with. It is intended for a lifelong purpose for us. And then he mentions very specifically what we already read in these first few verses here is a description of one of those things that we recognize that would have been part of the law. Now here's the law as we read it and we understand it from the Old Testament, and I think that this in particular is a good example of a law that is still a good process for us to follow in the church today, to recognize that God holds some priority in the marriage relationship, but it is referenced here as the church in relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what this word is describing here. So I want you to keep that in mind as we think about these verses this morning. He says, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth," right? We recognize today that that's not popular in our world today. I understand that. But this is the intent that we read in the Scripture. God's intention for marriage is to be one man and one woman till death do us part.
Amen.
Right? That's God's intention for marriage. I know that is not what the world says, and I know that the world could care less about what God wants to see happening in our lives today, but that is exactly what God intended for the marriage relationship. And we understand today in relationship with Jesus Christ that God's intention for the church today and for you and I, if we come to relationship with Him, we come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, that it is a lifelong relationship.
Amen.
That He intends for us to grow in that relationship and intends for us to be drawn together in that relationship. And when He talks about the marriage relationship between Christ and the church, it's a body of believers coming together and being what God has called us to be. This description, as we see it written here for us in this particular verse, brings us a reminder. Obviously, this commitment was made in the law, and when a woman is married to a man, they're bound until death. That's what he says, right, in that verse. Commitment unto death. And the description we see here, he says, "But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Gives her some freedom, right? Gives her some understanding. So I want you to consider this morning what Paul is reminding us of in this particular context is life with and without Jesus Christ. A life before Jesus Christ this morning, in your heart and your life, before knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, we were married to the world. They recognize this morning this is the condition of every lost person in our world today. Right? But you just consider this morning, if you think about somebody that has no relationship with Jesus Christ, where is their commitment? To the things of the flesh. To the things of the world, right? And they are married to those things. And if we get very serious about it, that's not hard to see. Life is about me and what I want to do and what do I want to accomplish and where I want to go, my job, my family, my relationships, whatever it is that drives people today when they don't know Jesus Christ. And that's an image that hopefully in the church today we understand is something that God has called us beyond. When we come into relationship with Him, it is truly solely about Jesus Christ and nothing else. Coming to that saving relationship and that knowledge here, he says, when the husband is passed on, she's released from that. And when we recognize this morning what Scripture talks about, in verse 3 he says, "So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." This distinction this morning, again, is the clear picture for the church today. And I want you to consider this morning this image of adultery. It's a very serious thing. I know from our world standpoint today, it's not a big deal. That is not what God's Word says.
That's right. Amen.
This commitment is lifelong. And this morning in the life of the church, if you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to consider for just a minute what Paul is teaching us as the church in this verse is to recognize what goes on in that adulterous situation, right? There's a commitment that's been made, and when that adultery occurs, that commitment has been broken, right? That relationship is now fractured. There's something that's not right in that relationship. I want you to consider this morning what it looks like to be in a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we make a commitment in our life to do something that is contrary to that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a hard topic this morning for us to consider. But any and every time that we step outside of the bounds of the relationship with Jesus Christ, we are committing adultery. And the church doesn't want to hear that today.
Yep.
People don't want to hear it. It's uncomfortable. And if you're uncomfortable, praise God.
Amen.
Because He wants you to hear the truth of God today. It is important for the church to recognize when we take steps in our lives spiritually and physically in our lives today that are contrary to the Word and the will of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are committing the same as adultery in a marriage relationship. What happens in that place, right? You consider some of the tactics and the things that happen in the sinful nature of the world that we live in today. This picture of adultery can come into our minds and our hearts pretty quickly. It's not hard, right? We are thrown images daily. If you get on your internet, you get on your Facebook, you get on a website, you get in a magazine, standing in a line, in a counter, in a grocery store, or any other place, there are images that are thrown at men and women and children all day long that want to drive our focus to things of this world. All sorts of things. That's what we do with that that is important, right? We recognize today that the biggest tactic of the evil one against the church today is to throw every obstacle in front of us to avoid, help us avoid the truth of Jesus Christ. Help us to avoid the commitment that we've made in Jesus Christ and our fellowship with Him. And this is the distinction that Paul says here, this very specifically, if her husband lives, it's this relationship of adultery. He stepped out on those things. If we're in relationship with Jesus Christ today and we're allowing anything else in our life to be in between us and Jesus Christ, it is the same situation. The same difficult challenge for us. So what do we do about it, right? Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now he begins to explain this, right? So he's talking to those that were under the law. He says in the very same picture of we're seeing this relationship between a man and a woman, we see this relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. He said, wherefore, my brethren, that's the reference to the church. Every time we see that, we've talked about it. That's a reference to anyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Relationship in the church. Ye also are become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ, right? That's the picture of what took place at the cross for us.
Amen.
That Jesus took on our sin and the difficulty of this world, and He took on all of that burden, and He put it to death for us. He died on the cross for you and I, and at that very moment, He took on the sins of all this world. From the very beginning of time to the very end of time, all of that was taken care of. And when we come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, which means when you got saved, when you got to this point in your life, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says we died to that same sin. And we died to the old law, to the old habits, to those old situations. And God has brought us into a new relationship, into this situation in our life. To the law, he says, by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit, look what he says, unto God. What is the purpose of a relationship with Jesus Christ? You ever think about that? You know, one of the common themes in church life today is for us to explain to people that there's a need for a Savior in their life. We get excited because we tell them about Jesus Christ. Maybe they make a commitment to accept Him as their Lord and Savior, and then we're comfortable there, right? Maybe we get them to a place where they'll be willing to take the next step of obedience and get baptized like we've been praying for people to do. And sometimes that happens in the church. They get saved, they get baptized, and maybe the next step in the life of the church and the process is we pray that they get committed to the church. So we say, hey, you've been saved, you've been baptized, come be a part of our church and make a commitment to do what God's called us to do in this place. And a lot of times in situations today in our world, that's where it ends. Honestly, that third step is pretty much obsolete in most churches today. Yeah. Making a commitment to Jesus Christ as a body of believers is not a big deal anymore. I promise you, God intended something more than that.
Amen.
God wants you to be a part of a local body of believers. He does. Amen. It's scriptural. You want to know more about that? Come talk to me later. We'll talk about it. It's in the Word. It's the truth of the Word of God. He expects something from Christians, right? He says we're dead to those things and now we're in a new relationship. We're married even to Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The purpose of the Christian life is to bear fruit unto God. to bring evidence of the Savior that lives in our life and bear witness to the world that we live in, that there's a God that's in our life and that we are living in priority and purpose for the things of God. The growing trend in Christian life today is to simply say, we go to church, we do a little bit here, we do a little bit there, we feel good about it, pat ourselves on the back, call ourselves a good Christian, tell everybody else I'm a Christian, and life's wonderful, right? I want you to consider this morning, what does it mean to bear fruit unto God? We have to define what is fruit, right? We all know, we see evidence of fruit out there in the world today. You got a fruit tree in your backyard, maybe you see some of those things. You see the evidence. Our farmers are getting geared up right now to start doing some work, right? We're in that time of season when stuff's going to get put in the ground. The evidence of their hard work is what? Hopefully there's a crop comes up a little bit later, right? One of the greatest joys that I have at this time of year is seeing all the baby calves that are starting to pop up in all the fields. It just it excites me. Because I know there was some work and energy that went into that, and it was all God.
Amen.
It was all what the Lord wanted. And to drive down the road and see a field full of baby calves is just exciting. Yeah. Something to think about. I know for you that own them, it's like, no, I don't know if that's the case or not, right? But I know how that is. Know what it's like. But you want to see those things. You see the evidence of something, right? That's bearing fruit. There's an evidence that something's changed. And this morning in the life of the church, an evidence that there is fruit that is being bore in the church today is that others come to know Jesus Christ, and it continually happens. Day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we see people that get serious about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to consider just in your heart this morning, in your own life, when is the last time you were able to share your faith with somebody and actually see them come to know Jesus Christ? When is it that we see somebody walk down the aisle and get baptized? When is it that we see somebody get committed to the life of the church and willing to do what God's called us to do? That's what relationship with Jesus Christ is about.
Amen.
It's what God intends for the church this morning. And it's what Paul is talking about here, that we set aside all of those other things and we come to this place of relationship and commitment with the Lord. He says that we should bring forth fruit. And it's not about us and having a big church and a good group of people. It's about honoring God with everything that we do. And knowing that in the end result, we've done what God has asked of us. And we're a church that's faithful and committed to those things. He says in 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit. He says, look what he says, unto death. Here's the big distinction for the church today. This is still one of the reoccurring things that we're seeing in Christian life every single day, is we're living our life based in the flesh on the laws and the requirements. You consider what really took place when we think about the Old Testament laws, and we think about the image that we see, I think, a lot of times through the Old Testament scriptures, what do we find? People that were willing to do certain things because that's what the Bible said they were supposed to do, right? That's as we even read it. They knew, they were outlined, we do this, we do this, we do this, and we're good. It was a checklist. It was a place where we come to where we might literally classify ourselves as religious. Now, that term wasn't used in the Old Testament, but that's exactly what a lot of it ended up being. A true religious experience, saying, I did this and I did that and I feel good about who I am because I've done these things. I want you to consider this morning that it is not important for you as a Christian to feel good about who you are and what you've accomplished. It's important for you to know that you've done what Jesus Christ has called you to do.
Amen.
Feeling good about who I am and what I've done doesn't really matter. As you recognize this morning, you can feel really good about doing what you've accomplished and you could be as far away from the will of God as you could possibly be. It's not about you and I. It's not about patting ourselves on the back and the accomplishments we've gained. It's about whether or not God gave us that opportunity to accomplish those things. We see somebody come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It has nothing to do with me or you or anything else. It has to do with the Holy Spirit working in their life and being committed to Him. Moving forward in their relationship with the Lord and knowing the things of God. And what we see in these things, we were in the flesh and the motions of sin, look what he says, which were by the law, did work in our members. This is a warning that Paul brings. The motions of sin. And they were by the law. So they were following the law. They were doing the things they thought they were supposed to. But they weren't really being obedient to the Father. They weren't really being obedient to the Lord and leading in their life and walking in relationship with the Lord. They were just simply following a set of guidelines that made them feel good. And in the process, living in sin. And today, honestly, I want you to consider this morning. You can go through all the steps that the Scripture gives us of what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And if your heart is not truly committed to Jesus Christ, you're just going through the steps. If you just come to church because you think that's the right thing to do, don't come to church. And I know, I just said that. If you're coming here just because it makes you feel good at the end of the week, you're here for the wrong reason.
Amen.
If you're picking up your Bible Monday through Saturday to read it so you can have a checklist that says, I read my Bible this week, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
That's right.
Are we committed to Jesus Christ? Are we committed to the things that God has called us to be committed to? If you say, I'm a Christian and that's what I'm supposed to do, are you doing that because that's what you're supposed to do or because that's what God called you to do? We can make a long list of things that we're supposed to do, and God has given us that already. There's instruction here. But we do it because we love Jesus Christ and we want to be obedient to Him, not because I want to put the pat on the back. Not because I want to say I'm a good Christian according to my standards or your standards or anybody else's. You recognize today that our sin and our standards are pretty sinful, honestly. Is it about Jesus Christ? Is it about what God's calling in? He says, by the law, He says, they did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. You wonder this morning why churches all over our country are dying today. Why are they closing the doors? Because the churches are doing everything they're doing for the wrong purpose. Without a doubt, I want to see God fill this building with people that want to be committed to Him. Without a doubt. I don't want to do it if that's not what God wants. I think it's easy to find in Scripture that's exactly what He wants.
Amen.
To have places of worship that are filled with people that want to do what He wants to do. What He wants to live in their life and work through their life. It's not about going through these motions and steps and putting aside a list of things that say we accomplished this and we accomplished that. But we look at what God has done and recognize that the Lord is moving and His Spirit is working in our life. And we see the direction of our Heavenly Father in those things. He says, but now we are delivered, He says in verse number 6, from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. You recognize today that God wants to do something new in your life every single day.
Amen.
Without a doubt. If you read Scripture, we find the description that we see of the New Testament church every single day. The Bible in the book of Acts tells us that daily people were added to the church.
Right.
I believe without a doubt God would do the same thing today if the church was committed to it.
Amen.
That it would be a situation in the life of Solid Rock Baptist Church in Fowler, Colorado, that we would expect every single week that somebody was going to walk down the aisle and get saved.
Amen.
And that every week somebody was going to get baptized, and that every week somebody was going to join this church and be committed to helping us reach the next person that doesn't know Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the challenge for the church this morning is that every one of you have one person I know without a doubt in your life that you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ that needs to know Him.
Yep.
One person for you to think about between now and Fill the Tank Sunday. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them what it means. Don't tell them about church. Don't tell them about there's this place that we meet on Sundays at 11 o'clock where you can come and sit and hear the preacher and sing some songs with the new piano and do all this fun stuff. Tell them about Jesus Christ and what it means to know Him. And see what God does.
Amen.
In one day. I promise you, if you took a commitment to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the Spirit is going to work. I'm not telling you that they're going to get saved that day. Don't think that that's going to be the case. It may be. Don't know. Might be right then. They might say, man, I've been waiting for you to tell me that. Tell me more about Jesus. Right? Might be that you tell them about Jesus and they say, you know what? I heard that 15 years ago from somebody else. I want to do something with it today.
Amen.
Would you help me do something? Or maybe they might turn around and tell you, you know what? I've never heard that before. Tell me more. Right? And I have nothing to do with church. I'm not saying don't invite people to church. Invite them to church if you want to, but tell them about Jesus first.
Amen.
Tell them about what it means to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Help them to know what He's done in your life and recognize what the Lord does in our lives. He says that we would walk in newness of spirit. Are you discouraged this morning? Are you struggling? Are you hesitant to do what God's called you to do? God has something greater for you if you're willing to be obedient to Him. If you're willing to do what God is asking in our life, He says that we'd walk in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He said they were reverting back in the New Testament church was the same way that, as we read it in Romans here, they were reverting back to the old ways. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way we're going to do it. We're going to keep doing it. And just consider for a minute, if we always have always done it that way and it's never changed anything, should we keep doing it? Common sense says no, right? We've done all of these. There's things in your life that you want to do, you want to accomplish in your life, and you have this goal in mind, and you see the goal, and you think, I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing all these years and hope I get there, right? You want to see people get to know Jesus Christ this morning, we need to do something about it. We want to see the body of Christ grow in Fowler, Colorado. We want to see something that we've never seen in the Arkansas Valley before. It takes you and I being willing to do something that we've not been willing to do before. I don't know what that is for you. God does. God's leading in your life. You consider this morning, what does He say? That we would walk in newness of life. He says in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? What does Paul say? Absolutely not, right? We already read that in chapter 6 a couple of times. God forbid. He's not saying that the law is sin, right? Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. Paul says, I wouldn't have known what sin was if I didn't have a guide, right? Same is true for the church today. We wouldn't know what was sin. We wouldn't know what was right and what was wrong if we didn't have it written for us right here. He says it's important to know those things, right? For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Think about it. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. Look at it. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, look what he says, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? He says, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. Look what he says. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul defines very specifically for the Romans here and for us today in the life of the church, it comes down to one very simple fact. We were born into sin. We have a sinful nature. We're going to continue in that if we don't allow God to be the priority in our life. We don't put focus on Jesus Christ and the recognition of what He says here. The law is holy. The Word of God is perfect and holy and complete, without mistake, without any omissions of things. God has it written exactly the way He has it for us today to know where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. Paul recognized that. He challenges for us today. God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working in death in me by that which is good. You consider, even in that consideration this morning, that we might think about some of the things that are not even bad things could create sin in our life. You recognize that today?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things in the world. There is. There's a lot of good things that God has created. It's what we do with it. Right? There's a lot of really good things in our world today, but we turn it into sin pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Took Adam and Eve just a short little time to figure that out, didn't they? God made some really good things. Made a really great relationship. Can you imagine what the Scripture tells us, that Adam and Eve walked with God?
Amen.
They had communion with God and fellowship with God in a place that was perfect and holy and created by God with none of the nonsense that we live with in our world today. And guess what happened, right? Didn't take long before they decided that wasn't good enough. That's hard to fathom, right? We consider today if we lived in a perfect world, in a perfect situation, we'd do nothing but keep it that way, right? I doubt it. Probably most of us would have done it a little sooner than Adam and Eve did. God had a very specific plan for Jesus Christ. And He has the same plan for us this morning as we consider these things. We recognize we are sinful people. And Paul says the same. I'm that sinful man. Become more or exceedingly sinful, he says. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I want you to recognize this morning one of the most important things that you could leave with today is recognizing that your sin is your sin. I want to challenge your heart this morning. Own your sin. Own it. Recognize it. You know what the growing trend in human nature is today? What we do most often? Reflect my sin on somebody else. I like to do it, right? It's just part of who we are. Well, I did this because, right? I hear it every day at my house. I have kids. That's what happens, right? He did it. She did it. They did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do that? Who did it? Right? I didn't do it. In the workplace, is it any different? He did this. She said that. Why'd they do this? Why'd they do that? Right? What can we do about it? Take ownership of who we are. And what Paul says right there, I am a sinful creature. I am a carnal. The word of God and the law and the truth of God is holy and perfect. I'm the problem. I'm the sin. I'm the struggle. And I promise you, if you will focus on taking ownership of your own sin, all the other struggles you're dealing with today will not be a problem, because you'll be so consumed with making sure you're right with the Lord, you don't have time to worry about anybody else. Amen. That's just the way it works. Paul recognized very specifically here, I am carnal. That's what he says. I'm of the world, right? I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, look what he says, I allow not. I don't know about you, but I mean, this gets pretty personal, right? Paul says, the things that I don't think are right, look what happens. For that which I do, I allow not. If I was looking at your life, I'd say, you shouldn't do that, but it's okay for me, right? And we wouldn't say that outright, but that's just the way it operates. It's okay for me if it fits and it's comfortable for me. I want to do it, but you shouldn't do that. It's like telling your kids that they shouldn't do certain things, but you turn around and do the exact opposite. What do you think they're going to do? What are they learning? Not what they're hearing from you. They're learning what they're seeing out of you. What is our world learning from the church today? Ouch. What is the world, what is the community of Fowler, Colorado learning from Solid Rock Baptist Church? What do they see from you and I? What is the picture that they see and they recognize from me as a follower of Christ? He says, I'm sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, look what he says, that do I. The things that I look at in my life and the things that I wouldn't allow, the things that I know are wrong, the things that I shouldn't do, are the things that I do. Right? The thing I know better. I know this direction in my life. But what I hate, look what he says, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What does Paul say? It's a sin problem, right? Oh man, it is recognized that's the biggest problem we have in the world, right? Three little letters, one little word, sin. And it could go on for decades with that. Sin is the problem. We recognize it this morning in the life of the church. If we recognize it in our life, then we recognize that there was only one cure for that sin problem. And every day we're pointed back to the very same truth that we say we claim in our life. The only cure for my sin was Jesus Christ at the cross. Amen. Look what he says. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, look what he says, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good. Look what he says, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You think it's important it's mentioned more than once? Just a couple of verses, same thought, same idea. Paul says, the things that I know are right and good, I don't do them. I need to do them. I know what's right. I know what's good. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What does he say? It's a decision that we make, isn't it? It's a thought in our hearts and in our minds. It's a direction from our life. He says, the law that we see and the things that we want to do. He says, I find then in a law that when I would do good, what? Evil's present with me. We recognize, you know, one of the best places for us to be as a church today is recognize that evil's in us every single day. It's just who we are. And we know that to start with, then we know where to go. We know that I'm going to do the wrong thing. I'm going to make the wrong choice. That's just the way it works. The only way we can start making the right choice is start putting the right person in place. Start putting the right person in charge. And that isn't me. And it isn't you. It's knowing the truth of the Word of God and knowing and living in the direction of the Word of God, taking the truth of the Word of God in our life and making it a priority in our life. Paul says here, I want you to understand this morning, I don't want you to leave here discouraged. I want you to recognize the encouragement that Paul ends with here. As he says very specifically, I'm a wretched man, right? Who shall deliver me? That's where he brings us to the highest point. Who's going to take us from the place that I am to the place I need to be? Not me. Not you. Not any of your friends, not any of your family, not your checkbook, not your status, not your job, not anything else that you could ever do except for humility before Jesus Christ. And we want to see the body of Christ grow in Fowler, Colorado. You want to see the movement of Jesus Christ in your life, in your own individual life, in your family's life, your friends, your children, your grandparents, your whoever it is. You want to see things change in your workplace? Put God first.
Amen.
Recognize who He is. You want to see change in our lives, of our families? Put God first. Recognize position. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That makes us understand what Paul has been trying to say through this whole chapter, that it is only because of God through Jesus Christ that we do anything.
Amen.
It's only through Jesus Christ that we see change in our life. And I don't know any one person today, honestly, that really doesn't have a time in their life when they think, man, some change would be good. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I know that. And I know some of us are really good about staying right where we are. I want you to consider this morning that God has something more for you and for me. God has a design for us. And being stuck in the mud where we are a lot of times as Christians is not what God intended for us. God intends for us to be the church He's called us to be through Jesus Christ. And look what He says. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. What does that mean for us? The mind. He says, with my mind, I make a decision. And I put it very simply for the church this morning, for us to start using the brain that God gave us. Know what He says? It's with the mind, I make a decision. With your mind, you make a decision that says, I recognize who I am without Jesus Christ. I recognize that I'm a weak, struggling, frail human being. I recognize that. I recognize that I'm going to sin every single day. But I also recognize that God, through Jesus Christ, gave me an opportunity to not be that anymore. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then praise God, you already know that part of it. Now what's next? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, that's what He says right there, right? That we recognize that He is truly the Lord. But with the flesh, He says the law of sin. If we're living according to what we can dream up in our own plans and our own ideas of the world, we're living in the wrong direction. We strive to be the Christian that God's called us to be. We're going to set aside those things. Use our mind for what God gave it to us for. We recognize that. I consider how often I hear people say, I just made up my mind to do it, right? You find something, and how do you get things done, right? Everybody knows if you got a sink full of dirty dishes, you have to make up your mind to wash them. Otherwise, they're going to stay there, right? You have to just decide. And a lot of times, you just really don't want to do it. Maybe you've been staring at them dishes for 2 weeks. I don't know. And the reason you changed your mind is because the house smells so bad you can't walk in the front door anymore. So now you got to wash the dishes. You made up your mind to do it, right? If there's a task in front of you and you want to get it done, you're going to do it. That's the way we operate. It's just every human being. It doesn't matter who you are. You may be a procrastinator and you may put it off for way longer than some people will, and some people make up their mind, I'm just going to get it done and get it over with. That's okay, right? But you made up your mind to get it done. And I want to challenge you this morning that you would put your mind in line with your heart and the Holy Spirit that you say lives in your life, and make a decision today to not be okay with not doing what God's called you to do. You make a decision in your mind that says, I don't care what else it takes. I don't care what else is going to happen. I trust that God knows better this morning. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got to come to a place in your heart and your life where you realize that God wants better for you.
Amen.
He wants more for you than anything you could ever imagine. That's for every one of us today. I believe wholeheartedly God wants more for Solid Rock Baptist Church in Fowler, Colorado than we can imagine.
That's right.
We can't even dream it up. We've got some dreams. We've got some vision of things that we want to do. And just about every time we think we're moving forward lately, it's been a smack in the face and a knock down on the ground and a recognition of maybe we don't have a clue. Right? Perfect place to be.
Amen.
knocked down in our face in the dirt so we can get serious about Jesus Christ. But we make up our mind to seriously be committed to what He's called us to do. It's a mind decision for you, just as it was for Paul there. He says that in his mind, he decided to serve the Lord. And then with his mind, things begin to change, right? Because God's already made the change. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, there's already been a change in your heart. There's a spiritual change that's already been taking place. But nothing's going to get done until you make a mind decision that says, you know what my heart says is what my mind says, this is what I need to do. How does the church move beyond where we are today? How do you move beyond where you are spiritually today? You make a decision to do it. You all know it. It's not hard. You make a commitment to everything else. You'll make a commitment to do all those things that you have to do out there in the world today to get it done. What about Jesus Christ? What about relationship with the Lord? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and Your truth. And I thank You, Lord, for the reminder that Paul brings to us. Lord, as he was writing to the Romans in a challenge of recognizing, Lord, their commitment and relationship to You as a child of God. Lord, we recognize this morning that if we've confessed our sin before You as our Lord and our Savior, that we are in a relationship with You, just as is evidenced here, Lord, that we are a part of the body of Christ. And Your Word tells us that the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. And that we're in relationship and fellowship with You. And Lord, as we go through our life today, any decision we make in our physical lives that is contrary to the Word and the truth that You've given to us in Your Word, Lord, we know that we're in wrong relationship today. We need to take care of those things. Lord, I pray this morning in this time of invitation, Lord, I know that You know every heart and every life in this room. And I know that there are decisions that need to be made in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, I know without a doubt, because we're human beings and there's always things before us, and You're leading us and guiding us. And Lord, I pray in this room today, Lord, that You would help us to stop making excuses. Lord, that You'd help us to set aside all the doubts and the worries and the fears that creep into our mind and our heart each and every day, and keep us from knowing Your will and direction in our life. Lord, that we'd be willing to lay those down this morning in this time of invitation, Lord, that You'd just help us to be obedient. Lord, You know every heart and every life here. I know, Lord, that there's some that just need to make a commitment to You. Lord, they've never given You their heart and their life. They've never really accepted You as their Lord and Savior. I pray You'd help them to do it today, that they wouldn't leave this place though they've done what You've called them to do. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's done that, but they've never followed You in believer's baptism, and they need to make that commitment today. They need to stop running from what You've called them to do and just be obedient to You. I pray You'd help them to walk down this aisle and just say, hey, I want to be obedient to the Lord today. I want to make a commitment to be baptized and follow in obedience to Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to do it. Lord, if there's someone here You've called to come and be a part of this church and they need to know more about what it means to be committed to being a part of this church, I pray You'd help them to come. We could pray with them and start showing them the right steps of what it takes to be a part of Solid Rock and the direction You're leading us in. Lord, maybe there's other situations. We have relationship struggles, pain and difficulty, questions and concerns. Lord, we just need to pray, Lord, for Your Spirit and direction in our lives today. Whatever Your will is in this place, Lord, I pray as we're here before You this morning, Lord, that You'd help us to quit making excuses and make a decision in our mind and in our heart to do what You've called us to do, Lord, that we might be the faithful church You've asked us to be. And Lord, we're just going to trust You with it. I praise You and I thank You, Lord, and we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's 320. Stephanie, to keep playing. If God's called you to do something, would you do it today? take a step of faith and obedience. Nobody's going to be looking at you. Nobody's wondering what you're doing. They're all worried about themselves. Worried about commitment to Jesus Christ. I just wonder, if you were to stand before Christ today, would it really matter what anybody else thought? If God's called you to do something, would you do it today? You just need me to pray with you? Come up here, I'll pray with you. You need to pray by yourself? There's a spot right up here. You can get on your knees and get right with the Lord. I don't need to know anything. I know without a doubt that God's calling somebody to make a decision today. I don't want you to leave here until you've done what God's called you to do. Much longer, but I'll let Stephanie keep playing if God's called you. I'll let you. A few more minutes, a few more seconds. Will you do what God's called you to do? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. I thank you again for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your spirit and direction each and every day. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here and their commitment and faithfulness to you above everything else. Lord, we recognize that it's not about us and our plans and our purposes, but it's about you and your direction in our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning as we leave from here that you would just encourage and edify and build the body of Christ together. Lord, we thank you for opportunity to know your spirit in our lives. And pray you guide us from this place. Help us to be a witness and a light for you this week. Use us where you'd have us to be used. Lord, we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen.